Well, hello, saints, God's people. What an anointed song, that new song. We hope you loved it. We were a bit undone here. And thank you, Ash and Doris, just anointed. Well, welcome back to my house. I'm sure this is a surprise for you. We've been praying for you. We're just praying that you're doing well and receiving His grace for such a time as this. The Lord's given me a phrase that is just really helping me every day and through the days. And it's such a simple phrase. Have faith in my grace. Have faith in my ability. Believe in me, in you, to do whatever it is you've got to do. Basically, by Him, you've got what it takes. You know, you have faith in His grace. All the challenges, all the needs of the time we're in, you know, the small ones, the big ones, the tough ones, especially the big ones, have faith in His grace. And, you know, wherever you are, whatever it is you have to do, whether you have to go out, whether you're staying in, you know, whether you have to go out to work or whether you're working from home, whether you're sending your kids to school because you're key workers or you're homeschooling, God bless you. I've heard that's not for the faint-hearted, but have faith in His grace. And you know, His grace, I've been in Psalm 46 a bit, and His grace in Psalm 46, it's kind of described like this underground river of supply. And that's what His grace is. It's invisible, but it's there. But we need to believe it's there. And we need to draw from it by faith. But in Psalm 46, it says, it makes our hearts glad, this river of supply. He makes our hearts glad so we can go through our days bright because we're living by Him, trusting Him. And like that picture in Psalm 46, it talks about the earth being moved, mountains falling into the midst of the sea. The earth we're in now is being shaken. We're in a troubled time. People are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of kind of anxiety about. But we're here for such a time as this. And I just want to remind you, you were born on the day you were born, on the date you were born, because the Lord wanted you in the world now, in this time. You know, and we're born really to be here now, to bring Jesus in, God's plan, into our conversations, through social media. You know, having these creative ideas of just little ways, little kind of phrases, songs, the stuff you can share. It can be used for good or for bad, can't it? Social media. Just bringing Jesus in. God's plan for us. And of course, vitally, through prayer. Just God's plan for us in these days. To be an entry point for Jesus into the world. Wherever, whoever, you know, just to have that vision. That's God's plan for me. And you've heard me refer to this many times, but I'm going to do it again. James Maloney, who sadly and shockingly went to be with the Lord before Christmas, he had a prophetic word over us as a church from Genesis 28, that we're the gateway of heaven, the entry point for God's supernatural power in this world. And that's true of us collectively, but it's also true of you and I as individuals. Just that, you know, visualizing that ladder, angels coming up and down, I'm an entry point for God on the earth. You know, wherever God's placed you, the people you live with, the people you work with, I know, of course, mostly it's remotely by now, but you're their contact point with Him. This entry point for Jesus to come in, His channel of grace to help in time of need. He's a burden lifter. He's a helper. He's a hope bringer. I saw a kind of little news clip on Breakfast News the other day, and this professor of, I don't know what, something important was speaking. And she just said, people need hope. They need something to aim for. People need hope. And it really kind of struck me, and I thought, gosh, that's so right. This thing, this virus, it has gone on and on. People are tired. They need hope. We need hope. Who gives hope for the future better? Who gives help in the present better than our Jesus? I want to read you a scripture from Isaiah 43, verse 11. The Lord says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other Saviour. And I just want to repeat that. I, he says, I, even I, am the Lord. Besides me, there is no other Saviour. Work can't save people. Money can't save people. Drink, drugs, whatever it is that people turn to for either kind of help or escapism, it can't save. It might prop up for a while, but my gosh, then it lets people fall. And these things, they can become idols, can't they? Substitutes for God. But there's a psalm, I didn't find it actually, but I know there's a psalm somewhere. God talks about idols and he says, they don't have eyes, they don't have ears. But we have a God in heaven who has eyes, who has ears, who hears and sees. He's above all and he hears prayer. And I want to read you from Psalm 94. If you've got a Bible, we read it together. Psalm 94. I'm going to read from verse 9 to 13. He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nation, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. And I don't think there is anybody on earth right now who would deny we are living in days of adversity, one way or another. He gives the rest. He gives the strength. He gives the hope, that conviction that the future is going to be better. The future is going to be brighter. And I've been singing off and on an old hymn this week. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Great is your faithfulness, Father, to me. But we have to go to him to get it. We need to go to him to receive ourselves. And we need to go to him to receive on behalf of others. You know, like Esther going before the king. But unless we do it, we always know we should, but we'll never know the power of it. I just want to encourage you again. Go to him. Strength for today. Bright hope for tomorrow. Because these days, they can kind of become a little bit, I just got to get through. You know, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just get through it. But God has a royal plan in these days. And I want you to just think about his plan within your plan. His plan within your day, really. And I know some of you are not busy at all in this time. I know there are others of you who are absolutely run off your feet, learning new skills, teaching from home, just managing the stuff of life and the issues of life. Have faith in his grace. But also remember each day he wants to give to you. And he wants to give through you. Give to me. Give through me. Grace to help in time of need. And you know that grace, when we receive it personally, we kind of get a bit more elastic. Or a lot more elastic, depending on how much we're believing. But we have that ability to give more. When we've received his grace ourselves, we're kind of freed up a bit to start to become a little bit more others minded, you know, so that the Lord can lay someone on your heart. You know, you might be doing the dishes or driving to the supermarket and he just puts someone on your heart, brings them into your head. So you start to pray, you know, just pray however the Lord leads. And then maybe it's like, you know what, I'm just going to text that to him. I'm just going to WhatsApp or maybe even just give them a call. You know, ask them how they're doing. Encourage them. Impart grace to them. Because what we've received, we can give. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4. It says, he comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort others in theirs. That's my kind of paraphrase of it. But essentially it's that. We receive his comfort. We can give it to others. But the main thing, really, that the Lord is putting his almighty finger on at the moment is prayer. Prayer. Receiving answers personally and receiving on behalf of others. People we love and know well. People maybe we know a little bit. And also for people we don't even know at all. And I'm sure you do too, but I love praying that blessing, you know, from number six. We heard that anointed song at the start of lockdown. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you and give you peace. I love praying that for my neighbours, my family, for you, for people I don't know. Every time I see an ambulance, particularly if the sirens are going, I pray that. I pray that for the paramedics on board. I pray that for the patient or the one that they're going to get. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you right now in that ambulance. Be gracious to you. Give you supernatural peace. Help in time of need. Channels of his blessing and provision into people's lives in the here and now. Healing, deliverance, deliverance physically, deliverance from mental health problems. But what I really believe, you know, to kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture, as the book of Esther kind of helps us to see God's plan within the earth's circumstances, I believe that the Lord, in this time of trouble, is wanting to wake people up to the reality of eternity. Not just the lost, all of us. You know, we have allotted time on earth, you know. And what this virus has proven quickly is that man is frail. Life can end quickly. I'm not going to go into the details, but I heard a story on the news the other day. This 39-year-old, fit, healthy man, used to do a lot of sort of long-distance swimming. He was healthy, sporty. He went to bed with a tight chest and a bit of a cough. And he lived with his brother. His brother woke up in the morning to find he'd gone in the night. Quick. And it's good for us to hear these stories, not to be afraid, because we're under the shadow of the Almighty, Church. If you're a believer, we have faith in God to shield us and protect us. But my gosh, we all need to be woken up, I think, to our own mortality. And that's what I'm praying. Cause people to watch the news, Lord. You know, I think it's good for all of us to watch some news, just to be aware of what's going on and also for prayer. But Lord, unsettle people in our nation, in your world. Unsettle people everywhere with a thought of their own mortality. Send dreams. Cause insomnia, like that king in the book of Esther. You know, keep people awake at night with the thought that, yes, one day, if not now then, you know, we're not here forever, and that they will be niggled with the thought of dying. I'm praying that for my neighbours, you know. The thought, well, what about me? How long have I got? I had a conversation with an uncle of mine at the start of lockdown back in March. It really affected me, and I'm praying for an opportunity because I didn't then have an opportunity to speak. But he said to me, oh, you know, we've been watching the news, seeing all these kind of numbers rising, people who are dying of this virus. And he said, it gets you thinking, well, how long have I got? And then he laughed and he said, but I'll pour myself another gin and tonic and I felt better. And I thought, there we have it. That's exactly what the enemy does. He kind of lulls people, but there's kind of an awakeness for a moment. This kind of lucid moment where people start to consider and then up, back down to head in the sand. Well, you know, this kind of, this is all there is. Eat, drink and be merry. Make the most of it. No. Lord, let's pray. Wake people up to the reality of eternity. An end before the beginning. And get them on a journey that will cause them to seek truth, search for truth, which, of course, will lead them to Jesus. We pray will lead them to Jesus. I heard another brilliant testimony of somebody this week, husband of a wife, obviously. She was saved, he wasn't saved. And he set out to do research to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Of course, with the goal to disprove the lot and say Christianity is nonsense, fake. Ha! But guess where his research led him to? He could not find proof that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He in fact found proof, more proof, to say that he did, that he was a historical figure, and there is historical evidence of a resurrection. Ha! Guess what? He got saved. Lord, do that more and more and more. Even if people are anti, like Saul, you know, setting out to prove it all wrong, cause people to ask some soul-searching questions that will get them on a journey to seek you and find you. Because the natural mind says this is all there is. What I can see, what I can feel. I just got to work hard, do my best and solve my own problems. That's the natural head. Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool says in his heart there is no God. We know in our own hearts there is a God in heaven. You know, and all men, all people must come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But we can pray, church. We can pray. We can pray first that the Lord will unsettle people with these questions. And we can pray second that we will have an opportunity to give some answers. You know, point them in the right direction. God can do it. He did it with you. He did it with me. He brought revelation. He gave us light. 2 Corinthians 4:6. He causes light to shine in the darkness to give us knowledge of Jesus. So our role and our privilege in this time is to pray. Like Esther, to the king, go before him, make requests. You may be the only person saved on your street, you know, or in the kind of little area that you live. You may be the only Christian in your workplace. You may be the only Christian in your family. I read a book years ago called Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. You know, let's not just feel sorry for people. Let's pray. Compassion and kindness, they are lovely things to be on the receiving end of, to give and be on the receiving end of. Love is such a comforter. But faith working through love brings Jesus in. The God of all comfort, the bringer of hope. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God be done. Provision in the here and now, you know, practical, physical, mental, emotional needs met, but also salvation for eternity. And I want to encourage you with a little scripture that I am pretty sure most of you know off by heart and have memorized. And it's Matthew 6, verse 33. You probably know it already just from the verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Basically, make his kingdom a priority. He'll look after you. He'll add things to you. He'll sort things for you. But what I find also really interesting, I was really struck by the next verse actually when I was reading this in the week. The fact that it is the next verse. Verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I think we can all say yes and amen to that. We're all aware of the troubles. But what that scripture is telling us is take a day at a time. Don't worry about tomorrow. Hand things over to him. Trust him today for tomorrow. Just trust him for everything today and tomorrow. And his answer for not worrying about life is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of our tomorrows. How do we seek first his kingdom? You know, I just want to, I'm not going into anything lengthy right here, but I just want to say, like everything else in life, we have to do it one day at a time. Live for him today and tomorrow. Live for him tomorrow. So simple. Live for him today by him. And tomorrow, live for him tomorrow by his grace. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God wants us to value our days. He wants us to value time. Don't wish your days away. Days are a gift. They're a gift from God. He has a plan for them. A royal plan, like a purple path. I always see purple as royal, or royal as purple. I in fact ran out of purple pens this week and had to ask Sam to order me some more. But this purple path, the royal path running through your day, his plan within your plan. And I think now maybe more than ever, We need to know we're God's own people. We're important to Him and we're important to the earth. We're on earth for such a time as this. And our prayers of faith, they bring Him in. We're encouraging you in this time to set aside some extra time for prayer and for fasting, just as the Lord leads. But I just want to finish by reminding you, really, of the purpose of fasting. I think Pastor Judith said it in an email. It is not to twist God's arm. God is good. He always wants to do good. The issue is our faith. And if I could just give you a bit of practical advice, whatever it is you're fasting, whether it's food or TV, however the Lord has led you, use the time to pray. And if you can't do it there and then, for example, you're fasting lunch but you're at work, if you can't do it there and then, do it later. But don't forget the prayer part. You know, don't just fast, for example, fast food and watch TV, or fast TV and do a bit of online shopping. The point is we fast and we pray. Because it's not about not watching TV or not eating, although you do win a victory, I will say, over the flesh by doing that. You show your flesh who's boss, not you, Jesus. But use the time to have contact with Him. Because contact with Him changes us. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. Faith comes from Him. Basically, unless we go to Him, we don't have it. It's not our willpower, it's not our mental exercises, it's a spiritual substance and it comes from Him and we have to go to Him to get it. So set time aside, just go to Him, speak to Him from your heart, tell Him where you're at, and if you know you don't have faith for something, say, Lord, here I am. You know, a bit like Thomas, I believe but help my unbelief. You know, give me faith, He'll give it. It's like you don't have it, but then you do. It's like a river of grace that travels from His heart to yours. You couldn't see anything good, and then you can. You know, you couldn't see a way forward, but then you do. Like, boom, just happens. It's a grace gift, a gift of faith from Him. Just contact with Him. So we get faith for ourselves and our own situations, but we also get His faith for the world around us. And I really am going to just finish with this. I just want to speak 1 Peter 2:9 over you. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, His own special person. You're in the world for such a time as this. And I just want to encourage you, go to Him and get something fresh. And when I say something, I mean faith. Get fresh faith. PJ, in her audio message on Wednesday, she spoke about if you've let a promise drop, pick it up again. You know, pick it up again. Get fresh faith from that promise again and pray it in. And if you've never had a promise about something, go to Him. He wants to speak into it. He wants to give you faith so that you can pray and bring in His intervention. So basically, let's go to Him. Our world needs us to. The Lord wants us to. And let's pray for such a time as this and receive His faith to clinch deals, you know, with God. Supernatural power on earth to bring His relief, His help in time of need. I just want to pray for you, but before you tune off as well, I've got a quick message, so please don't go. But let's just pray together. Lord, You're an amazing God. You are our God above all gods. In all of the trouble that the earth is in at the moment, and we're in it because we're in the earth, on the earth. Oh Lord, we recognize that You are greater, that You are the Almighty One who inhabits eternity. But Lord, You have Your people, us, here for such a time as this. And I pray that all of us, everywhere, wherever we are, will just be kind of portals on the earth for Your grace to come in, just these channels of the river of Your supply to meet people's needs. Yes, for the here and now, but also, Lord, that You will move us with the reality of eternity for every person, and we will pray for this kind of alertness, this waking up to mortality and this need to find answers about life after death and what happens to each individual. Lord, direct us in our prayers. I pray, move our hearts and give us faith so that we can really just cooperate with you to bring your kingdom in, to help people, to help our world. Do it, Lord. You're the faith giver. You're the faith giver. Give us faith. Faith, faith. Because faith is, your gift of grace that changes everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Right, I've written it on a post-it because I don't want to forget the details. I only heard about this recently. But there is a man in London called Ian Christensen. He lives in Wembley. And he's I think he's a church leader. I'm pretty sure he is. But it's only a small church. But the Lord has laid it on his heart to contact every denomination he knows. And the faith goal is this: to get 1 million believers praying on one day for our nation. And the day he's asking for this is this Friday, the 22nd of January. 1 million believers who will pray for 1 hour whenever it works for you. It's not to kind of get us connected online with anything or connected to a ministry. It's just you and Jesus. Just pray for 1 hour. 1 million believers praying for 1 hour on the 22nd of January for this nation. Deliverance from this virus and kingdom of God come. So please join with us. We're going to do it. Please join with us in that. Maybe write a note somewhere or put a reminder on your phone. But let's do it. You know, power in agreement. God bless you. We just love you loads. We miss you. Really, we do. Just know that we are praying for you. And God is able. God is able. God is able. I speak it over you, over your life, over your circumstances, over your tests and your challenges. God is able. Go to him. He'll give you what you need. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.